What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we had us a jam-packed weekend of sports, which means we have us a jam-packed day of a show. But before we begin, I did want to just note a programming note. This week, Christmas lands on Wednesday. There will not be a Wednesday show. And there actually will no longer be Wednesday shows after that since the irregular season is pretty much over. So we don't need to do Wednesday shows anymore. So it's going to go back to just Monday and Friday show from here on out because we don't need to do NFL Power Ranking shows anymore since the season's almost over. So let's get into the weekend of Week 16. And get into what happened over the weekend, beginning with the Saturday games. First, we had the Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs, and this was a pretty mediocre game from the Houston Texans. I just felt like it was defensively they weren't doing a lot, offensively they weren't doing a lot, and while the score was kind of close. Overall, this was pretty much all Chiefs all day. The Chiefs got the win 27-19. Patrick Mahomes went 28 for 41, 260 yards and a touchdown. And it was just really just another win by the Kansas City Chiefs and just the Texans showing that they don't exactly measure up against the playoff-worthy team. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the Texans once we hit the postseason because I don't think they're going to be able to play with the big boys, at least judging from that game. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens, and this went the exact opposite of the last matchup that they had a couple weeks ago. The Ravens dominated this one. It was pretty much Lamar Jackson had a pretty flawless game. He did throw an interception, but for the most part, it was a typical scoring touchdowns, Lamar Jackson type game. Derrick Henry had 162 yards. Zay Flowers had 100 yards. The defense, though, was actually the difference in this one, and to keep it quite real, this Baltimore Ravens defense is looking like the Baltimore Ravens defense of old. I mean, for the most part, my only gripe with this team has been their secondary, and they've been getting blown up in games, especially these close games, and this one, they did not. They were causing turnovers. They forced a fumble from Russell Wilson. They forced interceptions. Actually, as a matter of fact, one was boom, taken straight pick six to the house. So the Ravens dominated this one 34-17, and not a good showing from the Steelers offensively, defensively. They just got dominated all out in this one, and it was not your typical Steelers-Ravens matchup. It was just all Ravens all night, which was very, very weird, but good for them because that's what you got to do before you hit the playoffs, and the Steelers, in my opinion, actually took a step back there. And while I still think the Steelers are in the driver's seat for their division, they do have the Kansas City Chiefs coming up this week, and I don't know if the Ravens keep winning and the Steelers keep losing. I kind of think the Ravens here are going to be taking that that spot in the division, and that's not going to be a good way to head into the playoffs if you're the Steelers. Then we had the Sunday games. We had the New York Giants at the Atlanta Falcons, and this season cannot end soon enough for the New York Giants. They're basically solidifying themselves as the number one overall pick on the season. The Falcons completely dominated the Giants in this one, 34-7. It was actually mostly defense. They had a defensive turnover for a touchdown, an interception for a touchdown. Overall, Penix Jr., he had a pretty decent game. It was a game manager type game, I guess you will say. He didn't really blow anything up, but he didn't make that many mistakes. He did throw an interception, but hey, not that big of a deal. It was Bijan Robinson's day, though. He had 94 yards and two touchdowns, so he was pretty much the big offense for them, but their defense is what really held it down. But then again, they were playing the New York Giants, so it kind of feels like everybody's defense looks good against the New York Giants this season. Then we had the Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears, and the Detroit Lions did exactly what the Detroit Lions do, and that is kick the shit out of everybody. They won 34-17. Jared Goff had yet another basically flawless game, 23 for 32, 336 yards and three touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs had 109 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Williams through the air had 143 yards and a touchdown, and it was just a big day for the Lions on the offensive side of the ball, and I kind of feel like that's what's going to need to happen here since they have so many injuries on the defensive side. Their offense is just going to have to keep scoring like this pretty much in every game, but it doesn't feel like they have a problem doing that since it seems like they've done that in pretty much every game they've played this season. Then we had the Cleveland Browns at the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Bengals dominated this one 24-6. Joe Burrow had yet another fantastic game, 23 for 30, 252 yards and 3 touchdowns. And Ja'Marr Chase added in 97 yards as well and a touchdown. And the Bengals just hanging on to the outside of the wild card. They haven't clinched a spot or even really gained one of those positions, but they are still there. So who knows? We'll see if they're able to maybe sneak in one of those last playoff spots. Then we had the Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. This was actually all Colts all day, even though the final score was pretty close, 38-30 Colts. But the Colts, I mean, they busted out to a 24-7 lead in the second quarter. They rattled off 24 points in the second quarter, 14 points in the third quarter, and really just never looked back. As a matter of fact, Jonathan Taylor had a huge day on the ground, 218 yards and 3 touchdowns. And so the Colts, they are also another team that is just hanging on, hoping for that last playoff spot in the AFC. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the New York Jets. This actually turned out to be a pretty good game. The Rams were holding on there. It was back and forth just a little bit. Didn't feel like either team really wanted to score. I mean, it was pretty funny in the beginning. Both teams scored a touchdown but missed the extra point. Then the Jets took the lead, but then it just nobody was able to score. Nobody was able to get even in the red zone, and when they did, they blew their wad. But the Rams were able to just get it going in the fourth quarter, just when they needed to. They got the win 19-9. Kyren Williams ended up with 122 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And it was overall a pretty solid game for the Rams. They really needed that win, especially because now they have the division lead. And basically all the Rams have to do is win out, and they win their division. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders, and this was a huge surprise. I mean, I'm not really shocked that the Commanders were able to eke out this win, but it was really just kind of how they won. I mean, the Eagles were dominating them for the most part. They had 21 points in the first quarter. Saquon Barkley, he was running all over them. He already had over 100 yards in the first quarter. He ended up with 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. But the Commanders ended up with the win, 36-33 win, to be exact. Jalen Hurts in the first quarter, like I said, they were rolling. But then he got hit and was out for the rest of the game with a concussion. So Kenny Pickett came in, and he actually was filling in pretty decent. But they just weren't really scoring, or they were just having to settle for field goals a lot of the time. Then on their final drive, before the Commanders were able to take the lead, the Eagles were able to get a field goal, but there was a drop pass by Devontae Smith that was probably the play of the game. Would have been a first down, but unfortunately he dropped it, and they had to settle for the field goal. Then the Commanders were just able to get it going. But Jaden Daniels, rookie quarterback, had 5 touchdowns yesterday, 24 for 39, 258 yards, and like I said, 5 touchdowns. It was crazy to see. And 22 points came in the fourth quarter as well. So like I said, the Eagles first quarter, 21 points. Commanders fourth quarter, 22. So both teams were able to just get it going and dominate each quarter, but the Commanders were able to just get it going this last drive, get the win, and looks like the Eagles are probably out of the first overall seed in the postseason. Obviously, they've clinched a playoff spot, but now it's kind of looking like there's a good chance they're definitely going to miss out on that first seed in the draft. They're definitely going to miss out on that unless they trade up. But it looks like they are not going to end up with the number one overall seed in the playoffs. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Carolina Panthers, and this actually ended up being quite the game. It was back and forth all the way through. Then the Cardinals were able to tie it up, send it into overtime. But then Chuba Hubbard, who had the big day for the Panthers, he ended up with 152 yards and two touchdowns. But he scored the game-winning touchdown, the one that mattered the most in overtime. He just, boom, chops off a 20-yard run and gets the Panthers a 36-30 win in overtime. Knocks the Arizona Cardinals out of playoff contention for sure. And the Panthers, they didn't have anything to play for, but they played damn hard, and that's what you always like to see. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the Seattle Seahawks, and this also turned out to be quite the game. But it also just goes to show you why a lot of us don't believe in Geno Smith. He is a good, solid quarterback. He ended up 31 for 43, 314 yards and three touchdowns, but he also had the interceptions as well. The red zone ones, the ones at the end of the game that matter the most, and that's just what always seems to be the Geno Smith story. He's able to get it going. He could get you a whole lot of yards. He even could get you some wins. But then there are these moments, especially in the big moments. You know, the Seahawks needed this win, and unfortunately for them, the Vikings walked away with it 27-24. And the Vikings, they didn't score as many points as they usually do, but they were able to put it together. Sam Darnold, huge day. Justin Jefferson had the game-winning go-ahead touchdown. And he ended up with 144 yards and two touchdowns on the day. Aaron Jones, solid day as well, 67 yards. He added in what he needed to. So the Vikings got the huge win, but the Seahawks actually needed the win a lot more than the Vikings, because the Vikings are already in the playoffs. But the Seahawks, it looks like it's going to come down to the end of the season. I mean, the Rams and the Seahawks play each other here again, but when it comes down to strength of schedule, if they both end up tying at the end of the season, Rams actually have the edge in the strength of schedule. So, big loss by the Seahawks, and that's just kind of what happens with Geno Smith. Then we had the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills, and this actually turned out to be a fairly surprising end result. Not end result, but the actually final score, close score. I mean, the Patriots actually had a 14-7 lead at one point. Actually, they were cruising for the most part in this one, especially in the first half. But then, of course, the Bills got going, ended up getting the win 24-21. But Drake May, he had a solid game, 22 for 36, 261 yards, two touchdowns. Their wide receiver, Booty, he had 95 yards and a touchdown. But James Cook for the Buffalo Bills, he pretty much took it over for them, 100 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Their defense was able to keep it in for them, but I mean, this is a division battle, so it's really not that shocking to me that it was this close of a game. I mean, you always want to play your division matchups hard, and that's what the Patriots did, but they did not walk away with the win, and the Bills definitely needed to keep pace with the Chiefs. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders were just able to hang on to this win, 19-14. And neither team had anything to play for. As a matter of fact, this knocks the Raiders out of the first overall pick in the draft, which I don't think they're probably happy about. But then again, there is still a couple weeks of football to play, so anything can happen. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins got the win 29-17. As a matter of fact, before the game, it was announced that the Niners had officially been kicked out of the playoffs themselves. Simply because the Rams got the win earlier in the day, so that eliminated them from playoff contention. The Dolphins are another team that's just right there, barely hanging on to some hope. They need some help as well, not only some wins, but they need some outside help from other teams to lose. But they did have a pretty solid day. The Niners actually had a solid day as well. It's just they came up short in the end there. And that's how that game went. And the Niners, as I've been saying, not a good team at all, and this goes to show it, since they did not make the playoffs. Then we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Dallas Cowboys, and this actually turned out to be quite the shocking game. The Cowboys dominated it from start to finish. I mean, it was quite shocking. They did, the first three drives, they got scores right off the bat. They had the lead the whole entire way, and they were able to hold on to the lead. The defense, man, they really just took it to Baker Mayfield last night. He was on his ass, but also the Cowboys' defense, their secondary, took away a big game-saving interception in the fourth quarter. It looked like it was going to be a touchdown, but the defender was able to just yank it right out of the receiver's hands for the interception. And then to end the game, Deron Bland back, I think this is, what, his second, third game back from injury, and in this game, he had the game-saving play in which he was able to rip the ball away from Rashad White, and he was able to pick up the fumble and seal the game for the Cowboys, and they got the win 26-24. I will say, as a Cowboys fan, I mean, it was already announced for them because the Commanders got the win, so that kicked the Cowboys officially out of the playoffs. So the Cowboys had absolutely nothing to play in this game, and I will say, man, CeeDee Lamb has been injured since Dak Prescott got injured, that's when CeeDee Lamb got injured. They both got injured in the same game, and you could tell dude's shoulder has been killing him. He does not need to play. He's got his money. He's got his contract, and I love that he's going out there and not only wants to play, but is playing hard and being a difference maker. And it's really nice to see that there are players out there that give a shit, even though there was absolutely nothing to play for. But it seems like he's not the only one doing that. But it's just, in particular, you could tell he is playing hurt. It feels like every play he lifts his arm up and he is wincing after the play. He's had numerous times where he lands on the shoulder, or it's kind of, you know, does that thing where he opens it up, and it just, you could tell he's in a lot of pain, but the dude goes hard every single game, and I love having a dude like that on our team, and hopefully one day we will be seeing that dude winning a Super Bowl, because he absolutely would deserve it. So let's move on to Monday Night Football matchup this week. Not a good one. The New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 12.5-point favorite. The Saints are just one of those teams that has just been demolished by injuries at basically every single position. I don't believe Kamara is playing tonight. I think he's also out, so there goes him as well. So they pretty much have nothing going on, whereas the Packers, they are playoff-bound. They are a good team. They're actually one of the best teams in the league. They're solid on the offensive side of the ball. They're solid on the defensive side of the ball. Very well-coached team. They play well on the road. They play well at home. They play great in any type of weather. Jordan Love seems to be getting healthier as well and more accurate as the season wears on. So with the Packers, I just don't think there's going to be a problem for them tonight. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to be easy, breezy, smooth sailing for the Packers. I think it's going to be a huge win for the Packers, 37-14. And the homie Simon Ruvalcaba also has the Packers winning 31-21. And like I said, we're not going to have a Wednesday show, but there are going to be two Christmas Day games for the first time ever in NFL history this season. So look forward to those on Wednesday. So then we had the first round of the college football playoff this weekend, and honestly, it went as expected. This is why I was always, you know, I wasn't against an expansion, but I was against this much of an expansion. Now, of course, college football loves it because, hello, they're making a ton of money from it. But you get these, we're going to get these terrible games because there are teams that just don't belong. And that's what we saw in each and every matchup this weekend, is there was a powerhouse and then there was a team that did not belong. So let's start off with the first game. In the first round, it was Notre Dame versus Indiana. Notre Dame dominated the game from start to finish. They got the win 27-17. Their running back, Love, he ran for 108 yards and a touchdown. He even had a 98-yard touchdown. It was right after Indiana throws this terrible interception. Notre Dame's at their freaking 2-yard line. So you're thinking, oh, God, they're going to be lucky if they get anywhere. Well, no, this running back just boom. Shoots it off, and you could tell he was running for daylight. Once he got around one defender, I was like, oh my God, this guy's gone, and he was gone. And so was the rest of the game from there. I mean, Indiana's offense was exceptionally ineffective all the way up until the fourth quarter, and that was really just in garbage time. But for the most part, Notre Dame just dominated this one, and Indiana did not belong. Then we had Penn State versus SMU, and in this game, SMU did not belong because Penn State demolished SMU 38-10. There was never a point in this game where this one was close either. Penn State's defense actually scored two touchdowns right off the bat off of interceptions. They ended up with a total of three interceptions and three sacks on the day, so their defense straight up dominated. Their offense did great as well, but their defense set them up in great field position, set them up with 14 points on the board, and it just was straight up domination by Penn State, 38-10. And like I said, SMU did not belong. Then we had Texas versus Clemson, and Clemson did make this a game towards the end, but Texas dominated this one from start to finish. They got the win 38-24. It was a huge day on the ground for the Longhorns. Blue had 146 yards and two touchdowns. Wisner had 110 yards and two touchdowns. So these two went for over 200 yards and four touchdowns on the ground. It was a great day for the running backs, and then the defense. I already told you, this is the best defense left in college football, and they proved it in this game. They had a huge, huge goal line stand against Clemson, which I think really would have changed the trajectory of the game had they scored a touchdown, and instead they were able to hold them straight up four downs and stop them and get a turnover on downs, and just able to run some time off the clock and hang on to that lead. And the Texas Longhorns move on to the next round. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. And then the last game, and by the way, as the theme continues, Clemson did not belong. They made it a game towards the end, like I said, but for the most part, they did not belong. And then we had Ohio State versus Tennessee, and in this one, Tennessee did not belong because Ohio State had the lead from start to finish. 42-17 was the final score. This was just pretty much ownage in every way, shape, and form. The Ohio State quarterback, Howard, he went 24-29, 311 yards and two touchdowns. So basically a perfect game. Ohio State's running backs between them had four touchdowns. Their defense played a solid game, and just Tennessee looked exceptionally terrible, and they looked like they did not belong. So hopefully the next round is going to be a little bit more interesting. I'm sure it will be, because there's going to be more teams that belong, but this was why I was against such a huge expansion. But I mean, hey, we got more football, and maybe over the years more competitive games will happen, but I'm not shocked by any of these results. As a matter of fact, even though I took Indiana to beat Notre Dame, I'm not shocked at all that Notre Dame got the win, because I knew Notre Dame overall, just on paper, was the better team. It's just I wanted to pick one upset, and that was the one I went with. All right, moving on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Not a lot of shakeups here in this one. The rankings are just about the same as they've been for the couple of weeks. Beginning with number one, of course, remains the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 22-6, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they only played the Chicago Bulls. They got a loss to the Bulls, and then they beat the Bulls. So that's been their week in a nutshell. But I mean, really, just the Celtics, there's really nothing else to add. They're the best team in the league. They're playing great basketball, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you, Boston Celtics. I'm a Lakers fan, obviously. I don't care what they're doing, but they are the best team in the league. So got to put them at one. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 25-4. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Brooklyn Nets, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Philadelphia 76ers. They are just playing great. I mean, they're scoring like crazy, but they're also playing really well on the defensive side of the ball. Evan Mobley's added a lot of dominance in the paint. He's really owning the boards and really adding into, this Cavaliers team hasn't had an issue with offense. It's really just defense and rebounds. And Mobley has really stepped in and added a nice solid piece right there in the middle for them. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Oklahoma City Thunder, overall record of 22-5. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're actually technically on a 7-game winning streak if you don't count the NBA Cup championship, which doesn't actually count towards your record. So the standings technically count it as a 7-game winning streak, but they did lose to the Bucks earlier this week. But they got wins over the Orlando Magic and the Miami Heat. And SGA, man, this guy is having a phenomenal season. He just continues to dominate and lead this team. And then Hartenstein, he's really just taken over the boards. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens once Chet Holmgren gets back in there. This team's going to be very dominant in the paint and very dominant defensively and probably scoring a lot of points as they continue to do. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 20-9. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Golden State Warriors and the Atlanta Hawks. Jaren Jackson Jr., he has pretty much been the leader of the pack on this team, which has just been crazy because you expected it to be Ja Morant, who also has been having a great year, but it really hasn't been revolving around him. It's Jaren Jackson has actually been averaging 21 points per game, and so has Ja. So the two of them are just great on offense, and then you've got Edie out there. He's back from his injury, so he's great out there in the paint for them. And excuse me, had to sneeze there. But yeah, just been a good solid year for the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they've actually been probably the most surprising team in the Western Conference because they're actually playing really consistent basketball on both ends of the court right now. Then at number five, I'm a top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks. Overall record of 18-10. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Minnesota Vikings, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the New Orleans Pelicans. And this team is really just gelling perfectly. Brunson, of course, is the leader of the pack. Karl-Anthony Towns is not only fitting in well, but he's also starting to come into his own as well and really knock down some game-winning shots and be a huge deciding factor for this team. OG Anunoby, he's also having a good year. And then Josh Hart. He's been playing well on the defensive side of the ball, and this team just seems to be getting stronger as the season wears on. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Milwaukee Bucks, overall record of 15-12. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the win over the Oklahoma City Thunder, lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then got a win over the Washington Wizards. They, of course, did win the NBA Cup earlier this week. Giannis is having a monster season right now, averaging 33 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 6 assists per game. So he's really just taken over. Him and Dame Lillard are actually just gelling well. They've got Middleton back from injury, so this team actually seems to be getting stronger as the season wears on, and they seem to be looking like the typical Bucks that we've been grown used to over the last couple of years. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Dallas Mavericks, overall record of 18-10. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they only played the Los Angeles Clippers. They lost one game and won one game against them. And really just the Mavericks' issues have been injuries. I mean, Luka's been in and out of the lineup. Kyrie Irving's been in and out of the lineup. Thompson's been in and out of the lineup. It's just been, that's been their problem. But when Luka plays, they pretty much have no issues. As a matter of fact, I think their loss to the Clippers, Luka did not play in the one that they won. He did. I could be wrong, but I mean, that's just basically how it is. I mean, Luka is just having another dominating year as he continues to do in the NBA. But the Mavericks just really haven't been able to get any consistency going, simply because it feels like every time they get somebody back, another guy gets injured. So it kind of feels like that's the theme of their season right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 19-9. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the New Orleans Pelicans and the Toronto Raptors. This is a team I look at that, you know, they're getting wins, but are they really getting any quality wins as of late? I mean, the Pelicans and the Raptors, those are two of the worst teams in the league. So they're getting wins against them, but you know, not really standing up against the elite teams. But I mean, I guess that's to be expected. But still, they're there. They're still making noise. But Dallas is actually right on their ass in the division. And I expect them to probably overtake them any day now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that is falling because they just also keep getting hit with the injury bug, and that is the Orlando Magic. Overall record of 18-12. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, but got the win over the Miami Heat. Unfortunately, they got some bad news. Mo Wagner, he tore his ACL, and he is going to be out for the rest of the season. So they lost his brother, Franz, who's going to be out for a couple of months. And then, of course, Biancaro, he's already been out for over a month, and he's not expected back anytime soon. So the Orlando Magic, I already was wondering how long their fall-off was going to be, if they were going to be consistent, and now it kind of feels like it's injury after injury, and they're probably going to start to falter here pretty soon. But then again, they are in the Eastern Conference, and there aren't a lot of top-heavy teams right now. So they could still stay within it. They are in a pretty quiet division, but it feels like the Miami Heat can get going at any time. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 15-11. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the win over the Sacramento Kings, but lost to the Portland Trail Blazers, and then got a win over the New Orleans Pelicans. This team is also basically like the Mavericks. It feels like every time they get a player back from injury, another one's gone. So they're slowly starting to work their way back from injuries as well. But Nikola Jokic, he has been typical Nikola Jokic, averaging a triple-double every single game right now. He is averaging 31 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, and 10 assists per game. And he has just been having another monster season. It feels like he's kind of like a robot. It's just like he gets started, and it's like he's just a triple-double machine. He's so unstoppable, and it just feels like if he doesn't score a triple-double at this point, it's just like, what are we doing here? Because it feels like that is all he does, is score triple-double. So it's crazy to watch, and it's crazy that his team's not even doing that well, but he is still a machine. But he is getting his guys back. I mean, Jamal Murray's been in and out of the lineup due to injuries. Got Aaron Gordon with the same thing. So they've had some guys. They're also on the trade market as well. So things could shift with this roster. But they're still one of the top teams in the West. But their issue has been the same thing as the Mavericks. Just the injury, the injuries keep hitting them when a guy comes back. And then we had a little bit of baseball news this weekend, some sad baseball news. And Hall of Famer Ricky Henderson, he died over the weekend. He played left field, most notably for the Oakland A's, the New York Yankees, the Toronto Blue Jays. He played for quite a few teams. But if you think of Ricky Henderson, at least the way I think of Ricky Henderson, Oakland A for sure. But I do remember him as a Yankee. But he was one of the greatest baseball players literally to ever do it. If you talk about a stolen base king, this was the dude. As a matter of fact, he owns the record for all-time stolen bases with 1,406. He also owns the record for the single season stolen base record with 130 in the 1982 season. He's also led the league in stolen bases 12 times, which is a league record. Seven times he did that consecutively, also a league record. He was at 39 years old in that season. He was 39 years old. He had 66 stolen bases, and he became the oldest player to have that many stolen bases. Also of note, he is a two-time World Series champion, won one in 1989 with the Oakland A's, and then also won one in 1993 with the Toronto Blue Jays. He was the AL MVP in 1990. His career stats batted a .279, 3,055 hits, 297 home run, 1,115 RBI, 2,295 runs, and just all around one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Obviously a Hall of Famer, if you didn't know. But yeah, just one of the greatest to ever do it. And unfortunately, we lost another great one this weekend. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy the football on Christmas. And I will talk to you fools on Friday.